Hey everybody, I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond.
Hey everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond, and we're having a casual conversation today with Mark Rusbeck, and our conversation is about grief and grieving. Mark, how's it going?
I'm good, thanks for having me.
Good to have you back on, of course. Yeah, you know, hanging in there, getting to be the end of the year. And it's certainly a time of the year where folks are reflecting and they're purging, they're letting stuff go, donating, as well as grieving. And folks, this past week's PTSD and Beyond's Twitter chat was about grief and trauma, and how the two are interrelated. And Mark and I have been having some fantastic discussions on what does that look like? And we're going to be doing a series actually on the chat about grief, grieving rituals, and how to move within that space of moving through grief and grieving. And then what's on the other side of grieving and grief? And Mark, we were talking about, you know, a few things here about, you know, what are we actually grieving? And you had a really good summary of what that was. So I'll stop talking and let you carry on.
Yeah, I'm recently, you know, thinking about grief a little bit differently. I think as a society that we've kind of reduced grieving down to what's acceptable when someone passes on from this physical world that we love, right? And so, you know, grieving is associated with death only. And I think what we're experiencing, and especially in this sort of uncertain and chaotic world that we're in right now, is that, you know, we're losing things on a daily basis, you know, or over time, that we can use the methods or our own ways of grieving to help us work through those things. So that can be a loss of a friend. Maybe you move from one side of the country to the other for a job, and you lose colleagues and friends, and you know, does that require a process of grieving? Maybe it's the loss of a childhood if there's trauma going on and you're forced to grow up at a very young age. You know, can you retrospectively go back and look at those things through a lens of where you are now and allow yourself some space to go through a grieving process, whatever that might look like for you, in order to not just, you know, avoid it, but work through it and bring you up to, you know, a place of wellness in the present moment.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things that we talked about earlier too is that when I did research, so on the academic websites, right? So looking at peer-reviewed journal articles, what's the research that's out there that's published about trauma and grief and the correlation between the two? Most of the information that's out there is about the loss of a person. So, you know, death and dying and bereavement and the grieving process of bereavement, right? And what's interesting is there's very little information about, you know, say grieving the loss of a job. Or grieving, maybe there's something that was stolen, right? So someone's house gets broken into and you've got possessions that might not have a monetary value, but they have a sentimental value and the loss of those. I can remember when I was in 12th grade, I worked as a dental assistant and at a dentist office, and it caught on fire. And I lost my diploma from graduating from that trade program. And there was a counselor there who was helping us with the grief because, you know, to see the building the way that it was just I mean, I can still remember what it looked like. And he wanted to focus so much on the loss of that diploma. And I said, you know, I can get another one. And he said, yeah, but that was the original and it was framed. And I never thought about it from a perspective of loss until we actually had that counseling. So loss looks different. There are many different ways that we can experience loss: friendship, loss of self, loss of job, so many different identifications of loss. And then there's a grieving process that goes with it. And again, looking at the research, I couldn't find research on the ritual and or ceremony of grieving. And I'm wondering, like, we go through all these ceremonies, right? When you have a get married, you have a baby, engagements, birthdays, holidays, all this stuff.
Reveal parties.
Yeah, right. And yet, what happens when we're grieving? We're told to what? Get over the loss. It's been too much time. You're still grieving over that. You know, comments like what I just said. And so that really doesn't help anybody, by the way. I mean, those are just, that does not help anybody who's grieving. And when we can give ourselves permission to grieve and really embrace that grieving, then it doesn't turn into pain and suffering. But how do we do those things? And folks, that's what Mark and I are looking into on building a workshop. And we're tooling around with an outline right now because we have found there aren't any resources to help people with this. There's books. But there's not, well, how do I do that? What does that look like? How could it look?
Yeah, I think, I mean, sometimes, even things such as, you know, we've had conversations and we've had podcast guests about this idea of letting go or letting be.
Right.
So when you choose, you know, growth over being stuck in the past, you know, part of that process is a process of letting things sort of slip through your fingers, right? That you were trying to hold on to, and you let them be. And that's still a loss, right? It's a loss of a past connection, a anchor of safety for you that you've held on to for maybe most of your life or all your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the process of just us moving through in a growing, healthy way can lead to loss. It doesn't have to be, you know, hugely traumatic. Of course, those things happen to all of us, but it can be everyday things. Like you said, the loss of a memento. And, you know, I think that we've gotten so chaotic and crazy in our world that we don't take the time, or we're not empathetic in listening to people, so we don't provide them with space, right? It's like, oh, well, the sun will come up tomorrow, get over it, which is actually, you know, not only is it not helpful, it's hurtful, because you push those people into, you know, feeling that they have to hide their own pain and grief, right?
And hiding. So,
you know, and, you know, looking into that, I think it's interesting that nobody's really looked at it, because if you looked at it from a death and dying standpoint, like, which is, you know, like you're saying, like where most of the research is, like if people don't grieve the loss of a loved one, there's repercussions for that, right? Like if you don't allow yourself to grieve, that pain and suffering comes out in different ways in your life, at different times in your life, maybe where you're not even expecting it.
Right.
So they're asking you to go through this grieving process as a way of, you know, moving through that time in your life that's painful. But how do we do that in normal life? And I think it's different for each case and different for each person. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you lost your favorite key ring, like, okay, you don't expect the neighbors to bring over a dish to pass and, you know, sit with you and cry. And like, there's levels of grieving, but just knowing that you, and giving yourself permission, the space to do whatever you feel is necessary in that moment,
right,
is a way to move forward in life and not be stuck going, you know what, that was my favorite keychain. Right. That was, you know, it's the only first print of my diploma. The other one's going to look exactly the same, by the way. But, like, you know, right. You know, some of those things are important to us. We're human beings. We are emotional like that. So, like, I think it is complicated in a way, but I think it's worth talking about because, you know, at least in my own experience, when I've given myself space to just have a moment of sadness, you know, maybe shed a tear, maybe go visit, you know, a special place and spend some quiet time and reflect, mm-hmm. that those things they're not overwhelming anymore.
Right.
They become peaceful.
Right.
So, you know, I think there's something there, and hopefully, you know, being that we're going to hold some chats on that, I'd love to hear, you know, what other people say about their own experience to see, you know, how this might look and how we might just, you know, through peer support and kindness, how we might help other people in everyday life just not get stuck on some of these things.
I like what you're saying too about the peer support and not getting stuck, because what we have found is that there is conversations about, say, post-traumatic stress, right? And then there's another bucket of conversation about post-traumatic stress growth. In between there, though, is grief and grieving. And there's also an energy component to it. So the example is, let's just use divorce for the example. So I'm putting myself out there, guys. People have asked me, what are you going to do with your wedding dress? Okay, Dr. Deb, what are you going to be doing? What kind of ritual are you going to be doing? And the suggestion, there's a couple of suggestions. One was, and I'm smiling, was that I burn my dress, right? And I'm like, I don't know about that. Another one was to tear it up. Now, I've done some preliminary research on what are some rituals and ceremonies about divorce, right? And some that I've seen have been like, you know, I'm not saying inflammatory, but the language is certainly not from the perspective of peace and letting go. It's been from people whose intentions were well, but it was definitely an energy of get rid of it, you know, don't have anything to do with it anymore. And now there's an energy with that mindset and frame versus what kind of a ceremony are we going to have to say, for example, one of the things that I was thinking about is a gratitude of, well, the relationship didn't work out for a variety of reasons. And one of the grieving parts is a person who's no longer a person who I recognize, right? So that person is not who I met many years ago and who I married. They are completely different. So it's mourning the loss of the person that I knew and the person that I loved to now there's this other person. And the gratitude of, because our time together, I have beautiful children and children that I love. And so if I went and did a ceremony on, I'm going to get rid of my dress, I'm going to burn all these pictures and tear shit up, you know, and everything, I believe there's an energy that comes along with that path versus I'm letting go of the person that I knew. Because that, when I think about it emotionally, that is very hard, because it is grieving the person that I knew, because that person that I knew doesn't exist anymore. So people that are out there that are saying, you know what, maybe my partner or my spouse has a addiction and they're no longer who I married either. They're no longer the person that I knew. The face is the same. The body's the same. The sound of the voice is the same, but they're not the same. And that in itself is a loss. And then the component of gratitude. Yeah, you know what? I'm grateful that I have kids. I'm grateful that I have beautiful children. And do I want to burn my dress? No. My mindset is that there's going to be somebody who's going to look at that dress and say, that's a beautiful dress. And wow, I found it at Goodwill, or I found it at some, you know, resale place, right? Goodwill, Salvation Army, wherever I'm going to take it to. Because just like when I find something at like a Goodwill that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. I remember one time I was looking for a glass juicer, like from the 50s, because they're great. You can, perfect for lemons and all kinds of citrus, right? Instead of the modern squeeze things. Still allows you to get the zest off it. Anyway, I was looking for one of those forever and I thought, I'm just going to go to Goodwill. You know, I found one, it's cheap, but I was like, oh, this is great. It's the same thing. Somebody else donated something that now is providing value for someone else. And maybe for that other person, their relationship is going to be sustainable in the way that the vows and the commitment meant. So there's an energy component to the rituals that we do, as well as the ceremony. And we need to think beyond the present moment of the energy. Because if we focus on the present moment of the energy, we also know that we're human and we can get caught up in our emotions and our energy. And it might not be the energy that we want to do for healing. Do we have a right to be angry? Yes. I'm not saying we don't have a right to be angry. What I'm saying, though, is when you do a ritual, there's an energy that goes with it. And something else that's coming to my mind, guys, is years ago, I was in New Jersey with a group of energy practitioners. And I was so green. I was like the newbie of the group, right? And all these other people, I was like, oh my gosh, somebody like pinched me, right? And we were sitting around at dinner and they wanted to do this ritual because there was a person who they didn't like and they wanted this person to go away. And I was really put off by it because I thought to myself, why would we do that? Why would we do that? Why would we collectively send energy to make somebody go away that these people didn't like? He wasn't a bad person. You know, he wasn't. Annoying, yes, but not a bad person, right? And so I thought, instead of just saying, this isn't going to work out, why would we give an energy to a person, right? That could be harmful as opposed to, you know, helpful. And so, again, I want to encourage people that people around us, like girlfriends and boyfriends and people that we know, they might make suggestions to do something that's a ritual. You need to think about what that long-term energy is going to be like for yourself. Because sometimes in the moment, it feels really good. But when we look back at it in hindsight, we think, oh my gosh, I wish I would have, you know, just gave myself a pause to really think about what is it that I want to do? And can we come from a place of love, right? And I know that's really hard to come from a place from love when we're thinking about all the other stuff, like he did, she did, name it, right? And that links back to our grieving of anger. When we can get ourselves to a place of love, then it is to say, you know what? You're not the same person that I met. You're not the person that I knew. You're a different person, and I still want you to be all right. I hope that one day, whatever it takes for you to get better, you'll get better and get the help. And I do it from a place of love.
Yeah, I love what you said, because I think one of the things that whether it's, you know, our conscious minds that or our brains that tell us that convince us that, you know, our feelings of anger are justified and need to be heard. Certainly we feel, and you have every right to feel however you're going to feel, but this process of becoming aware and sort of peeling off the layers, you know, anger, stubbornness, all of those things, they don't, you know, they can be just anger, but they can also disguise our need to grieve.
Right.
Right. The fact that we've packed it in and not dealt with it, and we sense it and we act in anger rather than allowing ourselves space to grieve. And how might that be helpful as we go through? Because every human being experiences loss. Every human being experiences painful moments. That's part of life. But from a peer support standpoint, creating safe space for people to talk through things and not apply knowledge, just knowledge and analytics to it, but offer them space to go through a process where it's a self-discovery process.
Right.
Right? To say, well, what does anger look like? Well, you know, he did this and he did that and she did this and she did that. Like, okay, those are feelings though.
Right.
And, you know, just you're justified in feeling that. But what lies beneath that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the fact that you have this vision of, you know, marrying someone who is perfect for you, raising a family, white picket fence, yada, 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 retiring off into the sunset and just being happy. And now that's gone, right? That vision, that expectation that you had it's changed. Right. This is not what you're living in the current moment. And so, like, what you're really doing is like, you know, maybe there's a part of that that's just you need to grieve the loss of your fairy tale moment. This disappeared.
Right.
You know, and maybe it's not, maybe, you know, it's not entirely your fault. But I love the fact that you mentioned that, you know, there's also, as we experience those things, we also need to be grateful of the things that we've gained and learned.
Right.
Because, you know, I think one thing we get stuck in to hold on to is that this idea of success, right? When you're young, success is only based on, you know, what do you have, what do you drive, what's your house worth, you know, money, who you're married to, you know, what kind of social circles you exist in. And then, you know, as we experience loss and trauma throughout our life and get older, we're like, man, I just want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be safe.
Right.
I just want someone to love that loves me back. Right. And that it becomes a little bit more clear. And so, you know, like there's a process though, right? And those painful moments, if we allow them to be teaching moments and learning moments, and we allow ourselves to grieve, so that we can get through the anger and sort of peel that back and go, okay, I've experienced some loss here. What do I need? What do I feel I need to do in order to just be in a better place, a place of wellness where I can move forward and move through this rather than just avoid it or push it off on someone else?
Right.
And it's really just the, you know, our brains wanna classify and take shortcuts. And so the anger comes through and go, I'm just angry. I'm, you know, and I think the grieving process takes that from a place of I'm feeling angry, but I'm not going to be angry.
Right. Correct. Yep.
And how do we get there?
Yep. That takes work. And yeah. What I mean by it takes work is that people need to be aware of that they're behaving angry and that anger is taking over them, and then they're becoming angry. So there's a difference of acting angry and being angry. And if you have people around you who say, hey, you know what, you got to get some help here, which that actually happened in my case, because you're starting to be angry instead of feeling angry. And if you listen to your language, so folks that are listening to our podcast today, how many times do you say the phrase, I am angry? That means then you yourself are identifying with angry. So let's just say your name is John, for example. John is synonymous with angry. So instead of saying, hey, John, it's like saying, hey, angry, what's up? What we really mean to say is, I feel angry. And when we start at that small, you know, step of, I feel angry. Every time you catch yourself saying, I'm angry, I'm sad, I'm depressed, say, I feel angry. I feel depressed. I feel frustrated. Instead of being, there's a difference. And we're not taught to speak that way, let alone think that way in our society. We just say, I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm frustrated, I'm annoyed. No, it's not that you are. It's not who you are. If you do it over time, then you become angry. Then that becomes who you are. And what we want to do first is have an awareness of, what am I saying to myself? How am I using words? Switch it up. Instead of saying, I'm angry, say, I feel angry. Replace it, adjust it. It's an adjustment. And then what's the awareness of, what kind of anger were we talking about? Are we angry? Are we feeling angry? Are we acting enraged? Is every little thing just flaring us up? We're ready to go off, you know? And you're justified, okay? I don't want people to start thinking, but you are justified in how you feel. It is only you who can control, though, how you are and how you act and how you behave. And it's a choice, like Mark said. We can either choose growth or we can be stuck with grief and grieving. We can be stuck with anger. We can be stuck with sadness. And we can be stuck with the comfortable, being comfortable in sitting with our pain so much that it then transforms into suffering. And what Mark and I want to do is have this podcast as a snippet of what's to come with our offerings, because we ourselves, as wounded healers and with lived experience, and I'm being honest with you guys, I mean, this divorce is like, you know, I mean, that was just not obviously what I expected. And the way that it turned out, there's residual, and it's residual from a perspective of, you know what, I'm ready to, like, okay, well, I need to do something because I want to move on. Time to move on. And the other thing that I've thought to myself is, how can I be ready for the next phase if I don't clean house, right? You don't go sell your house if you, you know, put your house on the market if you don't clean it, right? And your life is the same. You got to clean house. And a ritual example could be to, you know, go through the computer and delete some pictures, right? Which I've done. I've deleted, you know, past vacations and trips, and I've kept stuff with my kids so they can have it, but everything else is gone. You know, it's gone, and they're good memories. They're good memories of some of the places that we were at and we visited and stuff like that. It's interesting. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were asking me, how do you say this? And I was like, oh, I know how to say it in Swedish. And I caught myself laughing. I was like, all the years that I learned how to speak Swedish, you know, I mean, came in handy once when I was in Ukraine and I couldn't figure out how to grocery shop. And I said, I'm going to ask someone if they know how to speak Swedish. And one of my colleagues said, you're not going to find anybody. And sure enough, I did. So I had all the groceries and food that I knew what I was eating. And then it was quickly, hey, Deb, you know, what are you eating? But my point of the matter is when we can get ourselves to this space of awareness, then that awareness, like Mark is talking about, peels back into more layers of awareness and of letting go. And again, that phrase letting go is so abstract because it means something different to everybody. And why it means something different is because our perception is different, as well as where we are at in grief and grieving.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, what I'm listening, you know, so I'm hearing you talk, and then you talk about the, you know, this process and this ritual, which I'm super interested to sort of dive into. And how our rituals may be affected by the fact that we didn't do the work, right? If we let anger, the superficial feeling of anger, drive our actions to just get a ritual done.
Right.
Is that going to help us grow in the way that we need to grow? Sure. I mean, you take a torch and burn your wedding dress and you're like, yeah, take that. Okay. So it feels good in the moment, right? But is that going to help you process and work through the pain that you experienced over this period of time? And intuitively, I say, no, I think you have, you know, if you work through it and go, okay, what makes the most sense? Like, certainly maybe moving it out of a place where you see it regularly, or donating it to someone who needs it, or something else, maybe a more healthy response for you. And I think this is all individual, but, you know, as a community, you know, one thing that we can get to, if we meet people where they are and are just curious and are mindfully listening, and this is what I love about mindfulness, is that mindfulness is just a tool to say, wait, is this what I'm feeling this, but is that what it is? Or is it something deeper? And let me just think about it for a minute. It takes the need to act and allows us to pause and go, you know what? Yes, I'm angry at that. I'm feeling angry in this moment, but that's not who I am. I'm not a vengeful person.
Right. That was my point about saying that there's an energy with it. Because what I found, Mark, when I was doing the research for our next chat topic, which is about rituals, guys, that's this Monday at 8:00 Eastern Standard Time at hashtag PTSD and Beyond on Monday, December 7th. We're doing an episode on rituals. Was that I found more information about this, like I said, this energy of, it goes right back to what you were saying, is this ritual going to help me with processing and actually grieving? Or is it an in the moment, I'm experiencing anger and I'm being influenced by, you know, things externally, or even maybe internally and in that moment, but is that really going to be healthy and helpful to me after this moment, right? What's the sustainability? What's the residual? If the residual is I'm going to torch the damn thing and be like, you know, doing a little dance and whatever, and the energy is, and my thoughts are angry and negative and all this other stuff, how is that going to be then when the ashes fall down? What's that going to help me with? It might feel good in the moment, but it doesn't mean that it is something that is I want to actually participate in for my long-term wellness and peace. Because isn't that what we want to do with this ritual and this ceremony? Is I want closure. Mm-hmm. And in order to have closure, then the anger needs to be addressed. The feelings need to be addressed. The loss needs to be addressed. Because if we don't do those things, then there isn't any closure. It continues. And you know what ends up happening? It rolls over into your next relationship.
Yeah. I think I kind of look at the grieving part as a way to set a path.
Yes.
For ourselves. Right? Like if you allow yourself time to go, okay, what makes the most sense? And you know, the burning of something may make the most sense, but if you allow yourself time to sort through those, the feelings of all of that, give yourself space to do whatever grieving needs to be done, and then that's the path, that's how you grow, right? Right. Like, you know, but if you just feel it and do it,
yeah,
sort of, you know, just is more of a reaction rather yep. than a planned response.
Right.
It doesn't lead to growth. It just leads to, like you said, it leads to another pain source.
Right. I think what's really super cool is if somebody was to have asked me, would I have been ready to do this 5 years ago? I would have said, no. I'm ready to do it now though, because it makes sense. And I can feel it. And the other thing is my hands are dry. So that's my, you know, woo, you know, my antenna on stuff. And so I want people to know too, is that there is no magic bullet on timeline. It's been 5 years for me, guys. 5 years. And I'm ready to do it. And how I know I'm ready, like I said, is because I feel it. There's so much that's gone on that I've just been like, I can feel it and I recognize it and I know where I'm at and I'm in a good place. Yep. I'm in a good place. And guys, it takes work. It takes awareness. It takes support. It takes getting rid of shit. And what I mean by shit, I'm talking about if there's somebody who's egging you on. Because I was a friend of mine, a girlfriend of mine, who just used to egg it on every day. And I finally was like, okay, this isn't going to work out because I feel like crap. And I don't want to feel like crap anymore. Who you hang around. If you have people that listen to you, great. But they don't egg you on and you're not like, you know, leaving going, I got this huge mess, right? There are people who are helping you. Okay, Deb, guess what? You know what? You're a little off the path. Let's get yourself back on. And when you start recognizing all of that space and then the things that are opening up. So it's true when when one thing ends, it's the beginning of something else. And it sounds so cliche, but it's so true. It's so true. It's so true.
I think, you know, when, you know, the old, saying is, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Yeah.
And you know what I love about, you know, the this community and the chat and the podcast is that, you know, a lot of the stuff, at least you know, in my experience with you, is that, you know, these things sort of come up because you're dealing with them in your life. You're like, you know, you stumble and get stuck, and you know, we're all struggling in our own way. And being exposed to people, you see people who are all over the map in terms of what it is that they're struggling with, where they are in their readiness to mm-hmm. begin healing. And the important part is that it's all okay.
Right.
That, you know, you create a safe space for them to go, okay, you know, what's going on? What are you feeling? You know, how open are you to doing work to move through this? And, you know, allow them, you know, little crumbs maybe of ways that they can sort of stumble on their own path, right? Of healing, because it's not for one person to determine how you should grieve the loss of a loved one, or, you know, maybe the loss of your childhood, or the loss of, you know, your diploma. Like it's, you get to decide that all on your own. And the only way that you're going to get better from it is if you do it.
Right. So correct.
I can't, you know, nobody can direct you. What you can do is create space, create awareness, and create support.
Right. Space, awareness, support, and I think it'll be a really nice segue to end our podcast of saying that grief and grieving is the way. Grief and grieving is the way, and it's the way to healing, it's the way to recovery, and it's also a way for new beginnings, for new beginnings.
Awesome.
Mark, thanks again. Oh my gosh. I just love when Mark comes on, you guys. Isn't he amazing? Oh, he's smiling. Look at that. Don't blush. It's true.
It's grateful to be here. Like I said, the wonderful part about this stuff is that, you know, hopefully, you know, if somebody finds a little bit of help or support, great, but there's no teacher. We're all just trying to figure it out.
Yep.
And so, you know, I love being a part of it because it helps me sort through things that are going on in my life. And, you know, the goal is to just trying to get better every day. So it doesn't matter who you are or where you are. You know, it's just it's a great community to, you know, to help each other. And, you know, I'm just grateful to be here and be a part of it. So thank you.
Thanks, Mark. All right, you guys, this is Dr. Deb and Mark Grusbeck with PTSD and Beyond. Please remember to go on drdeblynn.com/shop. Every purchase from our swag and gear goes to support the operations of our podcast as well as the chat. And we're going to have more information about upcoming Patreon opportunities that came up. But you guys, we'll see each other next week. And remember, the chat happens every Monday on Twitter with following the hashtag PTSD and Beyond. And we'll see everybody next week. Make it a good one, eh?